those apple bottom jeans. Rhonda Gadsden's joining us in studio. We have so much to get to. And I want to talk about Aronde's high school team that he coaches for American Heritage, but we want to talk to Armando Salguero here first. But you suffice it to say, Aronde, American Heritage continues on. American Heritage Del Rey lost, but
correct.
But you guys won, and so you're playing in the state finals?
Yep.
This Plantation. Is very exciting.
American Heritage Plantation, that is.
So that's you're playing right. Friday, state yes. finals, state championship. State
trying to go back-to-back, right?
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back state champions.
Very difficult to do.
And wait till you hear how they won the game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Let's talk with Armando Salguero first. Armando Salguero writes for the Miami Herald, and I thought he wrote a very good column regarding the Dolphins. Your column, Armando, your column essentially asks Stephen Ross at the end, like, what are you going to do? What do you think the state of the Dolphins is, Armando?
Hoffman, Aronde Gadsden has the world's biggest hands.
I'm looking at them.
Aronde, put your hands around Hoffman's skull and cover the entire skull.
We put a picture once.
The back of it, probably.
We put a picture on Twitter once of Aronde's hands compared to my hands. I mean, it's. I mean, hold on. Armando, hold on a second. Aronde, Mike Wallace, that throw in the end zone. Was
yes.
that on Wallace or Tannehill? Or does Wallace at least need to look like he's trying to get that ball?
Look like he's trying to. Sometimes for tape purposes, you dive. You
right.
put
no, you're not going to get it.
No,
you're not going to get it, but you got to dive.
But for the people, please.
But he said, like he said in the quote, he goes, I'm not Inspector Gadget. I was telling Zach,
yeah.
you were Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, but I probably would have dove for that. Just because, you know, the next day you're going to look on tape. And they're going to have the red point, and they're going to be
and you're
like,
standing there doing
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now, could Tannehill throw a better ball? That's one of those drop the ball in the bucket passes, a little bit more air on it. He would have got it. I mean, you know, that's the yin and the yang. You are talking about Mike Wallace, one of the fastest guys in the league. And if he can't make the corner route, he probably threw a bad pass.
That's a good point.
That's yeah. a very good point right there. It's a little corner route in the end zone. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Armando Salguero, state of the Dolphins is...
I would say disappointment. I would say state of the Dolphins is flux. State of the Dolphins is where it's been the last decade, minus 2008 maybe when they won the AFC East. The state of the Dolphins is perpetual mediocrity. And honestly, I get the feeling that people are kind of sick and tired of perpetual mediocrity. It's not good enough anymore.
Oh my God, are they tired?
Sick and tired.
So tired of that. But your question, like Stephen Ross, what do you do now? What do you think they should do now?
Well,
let me ask you this: do you think they're underperforming with the talent that they have?
Yes, it's clear to me this defense has regressed, and so by definition, if you're getting worse. You're underperforming.
Right.
This used to be a pretty good defense, and every year their run defense, both statistically and what you see on the field, your eyes tell you they're going in the wrong direction. Why is that? It's the same guys. Oh, it's not the same defensive coordinator. Okay. The offense has gotten better this year. There is no doubt about that. They're scoring more points per game. That's good. Ryan Tannehill is, I think, a better quarterback. I think most people would agree with that. Are they arrived and have they arrived? No, but I like the way that they're trending. Having said that, they've got some serious issues on offense that I think the coaching staff could easily look at and address. For example, Dallas Thomas. He shouldn't be starting for an NFL team at right tackle.
I mean, that's kind of shocking.
Or starting on the practice squad.
He shouldn't be starting his car.
He gave up 3.5 sacks yesterday.
Mount Rushmore of things Dallas Thomas should not be starting.
Yeah. Dallas Thomas, God bless him. I mean, he's probably playing out of position. He's obviously overmatched. They're asking him at times to block, you know,
the team's best defensive player.
Elvis Dumervil.
By himself, there is no way that Jason Fox is not better. Jason Fox will at least trip a guy. Jason Fox will, I mean, Jason Fox has played in the NFL. He's not a schlub. So I don't understand why Jason Fox hasn't gotten a chance. And by the way, the people that say, well, you know, the coaching staff, they see these guys practice, and so they know better than you who should be playing and who should not. Well, I remind you, the same coaching staff was watching Jelani Jenkins practice and decided that they had three guys better than him. And when Jelani Jenkins got on the field, he became their best linebacker.
That's a fair point. Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald is with us. So you write the column and you ask, you know, Stephen Ross, what are you going to do? And you point out a lot of things that are going wrong with the Miami Dolphins. What was readers' reaction to what you wrote? Is everyone calling for a coaching change?
Everybody's telling me they're happy with mediocrity. No.
No.
I think that fans, if you poll them, they would probably say that if this team doesn't make the playoffs, if this team is 8-8, 9-7 again at the end of this year, while that might not be terrible, it's not good enough, and you got to find a new direction.
And when you say that, you think there should be a new head coach, I'm assuming that you think Dennis Hickey's all right. Yeah, that's only been a season. I think he's done pretty well.
Well, I don't know, because obviously I hope that if at some point Stephen Ross goes out on a new coaching search, it doesn't turn into last time's coaching search where we're looking for the assistant of the assistant who is in, you know, Tennessee or something like that. I don't want another guy who hasn't coached in the NFL. At least I don't think Dolphin fans want that. Dolphin fans want someone that has a track record for winning, who has a program that he could put into place for a team that's, you know, not there yet, but not far off, and take that team to the next level.
John Gruden did it
in Tampa Bay. Tony Dungy did it in Indianapolis. Jim Harbaugh, to a degree, has done it in San Francisco. They were 6-10 the year before he arrived. He took them to the NFC Championship game the next 3 years and a Super Bowl once.
Oh, that is just ugly. Armando, we talked a couple weeks ago on this show about the fact that the Dolphins defense, and you mentioned it earlier in the interview, the Dolphins defense, we thought at one point was probably elite or getting close to that level, and they've obviously regressed. How big of a loss just in the last couple weeks to this defense has been Cortland Finnegan and now Louis Delmas?
Well, Delmas was yesterday, Zach, so yeah. Obviously, you know, it wasn't a huge loss until it happened. And, yeah, Cortland Finnegan, that was bad. Jamar Taylor, that was bad. Guess what? The Baltimore Ravens, who beat the Dolphins yesterday, they're playing, you know, third team corners at times this year as well. They lost Jimmy Smith this year for the year. So it happens to everybody. That's the way of the world, people. It's not the Dolphins that are uniquely embattled by injuries. And, you know, if you want to not be embattled by injuries to a degree, get yourself some better depth. So I don't buy this whole, well, you know, we're struggling because it's the injuries. Well, every team has injuries. Every team has injuries.
Yeah, no. Now another thing that happened yesterday in the game that I'm just kind of puzzled by, was it me or did they abandon the running game at some point early in that second quarter, or they just decided at that point, we're just going to throw the ball the rest of the game? I know that they were behind at that point, or at least Baltimore's coming back right before a half, and they scored that late touchdown before the half. But did they abandon the running game? What happened there?
They only rushed, I think, 3 times in the second half.
Yeah.
And, look, I would say that there are 2 games this year where the Dolphins were really impressive, and that was San Diego, where they won 37-0, and then the opener against New England, where they came back in the second half. In that opener, they ran the football more than they passed the football.
Wow.
They looked like a tough team. They punked the New England Patriots, and it looked like, wow, we've got something here. And then all of a sudden now you see that Lamar Miller gets the ball 10 times, 11 times, 12 times a game. There is no running back in the NFL that can be happy with getting the ball 10 times a game. You don't establish rhythm. You don't get a feel for what you're doing. You carry the ball two times, three times for a first down, and now you're out of the game watching from the sideline, and you haven't even broken a sweat. And moreover, they're doing that at a time when running the ball is what makes sense, because the more you run it, the less you have to pass it. The more you run it, the less you expose Ryan Tannehill to, you know, suffering the slings and arrows of a Dallas Thomas whiff block.
Somebody texted me on the plumbers911.com text line that the Mount Rushmore of local sportscasters, Roy Firestone, would be up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess he used to do local sports news as well. All right, Armando Salguero, read his stuff at herald.com. I thought it was really good. And
good job, Armando.
Obviously, Aronde's giving you dap there,
yeah,
audio
job,
dap. So I guess you got to feel good about today's performance then, Armando.
Stop performing, gentlemen. This is the real McCoy.
See you, Armando.
Take care.
Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald there. Now, Rondé's in studio. We're going to talk Dolphins. I do have to ask you a bunch of questions about Mike Wallace because I'm confused by it, but maybe you can shed a little light on it. But before we talk Dolphins, and we'll continue to take your phone calls as well, 305-567-0560 and 954-567-0560. Before we get to the phone calls, before we talk Fins with Rondé Gadsden, let me talk to you about Tucker Duke's Lunchbox in Deerfield Beach. I love talking about that place. I love talking about food in general, and especially unique foods. Tucker Duke's Lunchbox is one of the most unique restaurants in our area. It's a real southern lunch counter. They serve amazing food made from all local, seasonal, and sustainable ingredients. I love talking about them, and I always say to you, go to the website. You'll see why I rave about this menu. This is not your typical menu. Go to TuckerDukesLunchbox.com. When you see the menu that I'm talking about, you'll understand why I'm raving about it. TuckerDukesLunchbox.com. They're in Deerfield Beach. Their signature burger is called the Tucker Duke. We've eaten it before. They've brought them here. They're very good. But they've also got burgers like the Mondragon. The Mondragon burger, topped with six slices of bacon, a fried egg, two slices each of American and cheddar cheeses, Tucker sauce, spring mix lettuce, and tomato. Or you got the Tanner and the Unicorn Burger. The
what
Unicorn,
you talking about,
the Unicorn, of course, very similar to the Deep Pass for the Miami Dolphins.
They should just call it the Bomb.
They
like
should
call
the
it, Bomb Plant.
They should
or something.
Call no. Yeah. They should call the actual Deep Pass for the Dolphins the Tanner and the Unicorn Burger.
Tanner Hill and Wallace.
Tucker Dukes can change the name of this burger. The Tannehill and the Unicorn Burger. That's an excellent idea. Tanner and the Unicorn Burger, 3/4-pound burger with toppings from both the Tucker Duke and the Mondragon burgers. It's all between two grilled cheese sandwiches. The burger's not even possible. And it's not just burgers at Tucker Duke's Lunchbox. They got the PB&J bonbons. They got the nacho tots. It's such a great menu. It's amazing. So do yourself a favor. Go to Tucker Duke's Lunchbox. Check the menu out at TuckerDukesLunchbox.com. They're located at 1101 South Powerline Road, one block south of Southwest 10th Street, right where the Sawgrass Expressway ends in Deerfield Beach. Or again, you could look at the entire menu right now at TuckerDukesLunchbox.com. It's one of the best, most unique meals you will ever eat in our area. I'm talking about Tucker Duke's Lunchbox in Deerfield Beach.